U.S. patent number D486486 reads, quote, a display device with a movable assembly attached to a flat panel display and to a base, end quote. Then there's patent number D469109 for, quote, the ornamental design for a media player, substantially as shown and described. Those are just a couple of the hundreds of patents that bear the name Steven P. Jobs, the late CEO of Apple. A new exhibition opened on Friday at the Smithsonian's Ripley Center here in Washington, D.C., and it's titled The Patents and Trademarks of Steve Jobs, Art and Technology That Changed the World. Walter Isaacson is the author of Steve Jobs' biography. He joins us now in our studio. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, Rachel.
So when we think of the pantheon of great American inventors, Edison and Ford, the Wright brothers come to mind. Based on the work that you did and your relationship with Steve Jobs, does he belong in that company?
Oh, absolutely. And he had the greatest design collaboration of our day and era, which is he and Johnny Ive, who is the great industrial designer at Apple. And you mentioned the display device with movable arms or whatever. That's the famous sort of sunflower-looking iMac that they did, I think, you know, in the early 2000s. And it came about when a flat screen was developed. And Johnny had created something in which the screen was attached to the computer, and it didn't feel like it had real integrity. And Jobs was kind of annoyed, and he went home. And his wife, who plants this beautiful garden behind the house in Palo Alto, had planted sunflowers, a profusion of them. And when Johnny came over, they were sitting there and walking around, and they just looked at the sunflowers and how there's a certain essence of the sunflower and how it floats above the plant. And that became that iMac, and of course, Steve Jobs and Johnny Ive have their names on the design patent.
Is the credit that Steve Jobs is given for these patents deserved insofar as his ability to kind of identify something like that sunflower?
Yeah.
I mean, is that as valuable as being able to put it into making something out of it?
Well, one of the things Steve was able to do is conceive great designs, but also execute them. He had an intuitive feel for things. Like at one point, Johnny Ive showed him a recessed handle that was on that beautiful iMac of, I think, the late 1990s. It felt like it had just hopped on your desk. I don't know if you remember the rabbit-looking iMac. It had a handle, and the handle wasn't truly necessary. This was a desktop machine, but Johnny Ive explained it makes it friendly. People are afraid to touch computers, but having a recessed handle makes it just say to you, you can touch me. I'm at your service. And that's what Steve Jobs understood.
And it was every step of product development, packaging even.
You know, he was taught in the early 1980s by a great guy named Mike Markala that the packaging really matters. You have to impute a beauty to a product from the moment people see the box. And so he has a design patent with some other people at Apple. I think Steve's name may be first on it, of just the way you open the box to the original iPod and how it is cradled. And you open it and it hinges like a jewel. There's a certain theater, an emotional theater in the unpacking.
Makes me feel like I should wrap my Christmas presents better.
You should.
If you had to pick one, what was one of the fiercest fights that Steve Jobs and Apple had to fight when it came to patents?
Well, obviously the fiercest fight was the fight against Microsoft in the 1980s. And there's a good example of a design look and feel. Originally developed at Xerox PARC, which is a graphical user interface, and you're looking at a computer screen now, and it probably has icons like trash cans and folders and documents
and
everything
else. Indeed it does.
Some of those elements were invented at Xerox PARC. Steve made a deal with Xerox that the Apple team could come in, see it, and try to adopt it. And what Steve did was he improved it. You could drag the documents and dump them into folders. You could double-click on the folders, and they would pop open. You could pull down menus. All of these were improvements to the design Apple did. So then Microsoft comes along and pretty much copies a lot of the look and feel of that graphical user interface for Windows. And that was one of the great intellectual property fights of our time, because Steve Jobs felt pretty strongly that Microsoft had ripped off the look and feel of the Macintosh operating system.
You had extraordinary access to him. Did you come away thinking that it was more important for him to be remembered as an artist rather than an incredibly successful revolutionary CEO.
Absolutely. Look, when they do the original Macintosh in 1983, he holds it up for a while because the circuit board isn't beautiful enough for his taste. Now, that's not the way to maximize profits, but it is the way to say, I'm an artist, and even the parts unseen should be beautiful.
Walter Isaacson is the author of Steve Jobs' biography. The patents and trademarks of Steve Jobs' exhibition is on display at the Smithsonian's Ripley Center here in Washington, D.C. until July 8th. Walter Isaacson, thanks so much for coming in.
It was great being with you, Rachel.
You are listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.